Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 45 degrees under fair skies and breezy today. It's Thursday, March 29th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Test fishing will continue today in Sitka Sound, where the herring fleet is awaiting the first opening of the 2012 season. About 50 permit holders will be allowed to harvest a record 29,000 tons of herring this season. For the last 2 days, the fleet has been on two-hour notice. Alaska Department of Fish and Game officials generally look for a mature roe percentage of about 11% or better before calling a fishery. Four test samples were taken yesterday. One of them was 10.9%. The rest were between 9.9% and 8.1%. The state's research vessel Kestrel will continue monitoring herring distribution north of town today. Test sets were made yesterday off Inner Point on Kruzoff Island and in the Dog Point area. The Coast Guard's commander in Alaska took a side door out of Sitka's airport yesterday, avoiding protesters who oppose his decision about the future of a Sitka-based aviator. Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo came to Sitka yesterday to meet with Coast Guardsmen from around the state about the aftermath of a 2010 helicopter crash. Three people from Air Station Sitka died in that crash. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
How's it going?
As passengers stepped off Alaska Airlines Flight 62 on Wednesday, they came face-to-face with a small group of protesters. The 10 or so people held signs in the lobby of Sitka's Rocky Gutierrez Airport. One of the signs had the name Ostebo on it, crossed out with a circle and slash. Another said, "We support the USCG, unlike you." The group was hoping to get the attention of Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo, the commander of the Coast Guard in Alaska, and one of the passengers on the morning jet. They said they are upset Ostebo pursued disciplinary action against Lieutenant Lance Leone. Leone faced criminal charges in the crash of Coast Guard helicopter 6017, which went down in July 2010 off the coast of Washington State. The criminal charges were dismissed, but Leone's attorneys say remarks Ostebo made on Leone's service record jeopardize his chances of ever getting back in a cockpit. The group picketing in the airport might have attracted Ostebo's attention, but they did not get any of his time. As passengers walked from the boarding hallway and into the airport's lobby, Ostebo exited through a side door. Air Station Sitka and the airport sit almost side by side, and it's possible to move from one to the other without entering a public part of the airport. In the parking lot afterward, protest organizer Mike Finn said if he had been able to talk to Ostebo, he would have asked him why he disciplined Leone.
Why, after two boards have told him there's nothing there, give Lance his wings back. His commander here has told us to give back his wings, put him in the air. He's a qualified pilot. You don't come to Alaska not being qualified. The very best pilots come up here, and he has just chosen to take this mission on by himself and to follow what he believes is right.
Finn says Leone had nothing to do with organizing the protest.
This is our own group. This is how we feel about Ostebo. Anything we've done on anything has nothing to do with Lance. Lance is not involved with this at all. I know that this is the feeling throughout the entire Coast Guard, so I'm happy to represent that.
Leone's private attorney, John Smith, is planning a challenge to Ostebo's remarks on his client's service record. Smith says evidence brought out during the criminal proceedings against Leone exonerates him of any blame in the crash. In a strongly worded commentary distributed to both the Daily Sitka Sentinel and KCAW, Smith invoked the anti-communism hearings held by Senator Joseph McCarthy in the 1950s. Here's Smith reading from his commentary.
It is important to ask Admiral Ostebo and the Coast Guard senior leadership the same question lawyer Joseph Welsh asked Senator Joe McCarthy during the famous Army-McCarthy hearings in 1954. Have you no sense of decency?
Smith says both Ostebo and the Coast Guard's report on the accident ignore evidence demonstrating Leone's innocence. That includes the wires the helicopter clipped to cause the crash. The report does mention them and says that they should have been better marked, but it says it's speculative as to whether that would have prevented the crash. Smith says the Coast Guard was negligent in not marking them properly. The Coast Guard's report is called the Final Action Memo, or FAM for short.
Admiral Ostebo, in briefing the Coast Guard's FAM, does not merely follow McCarthy's precedent of half-truths. He will commit a far more serious blow to the truth. he will disregard evidence demonstrating Lieutenant Leone's innocence and therefore purposefully shield Coast Guard leadership from accountability for egregious lapses of safety concerns.
KCAW requested an interview with Ostabo through the district office in Juneau. A Coast Guard spokesman said the admiral had a tight schedule and would be returning immediately to Juneau without time for interviews. The Coast Guard would not say how long Ostabo is in town, citing security procedures. Ostabo's meeting at Air Station Sitka was not open to the public. Only authorized personnel were allowed onto air station property on Wednesday. The main gate was closed, and IDs were being checked as cars pulled up. Typically, the public has access to both the air station grounds and the beach beyond. Chief Petty Officer Kip Wadlow is a spokesman for the Coast Guard in Alaska. He says Ostabo was directed by the Coast Guard's vice commandant in Washington, D.C., to hold the briefing in Sitka.
The Coast Guard has a tradition of very close ties with the communities that we serve in. And when incidents and accidents happen, there are a lot of emotions involved. The reason why the Coast Guard takes things like this so seriously is because we value our people.
Wednesday's meeting included aviators from Sitka, Kodiak, and other parts of the United States. Wadlow says Ostabo went over the final action memo and the steps the Coast Guard plans to take in order to prevent future accidents. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can hear John Smith's commentary on KCAW tomorrow morning at 8:30 and also on our website, kcaw.org. You can also link to earlier stories about the Leone case on our website. KCAW notified the Coast Guard Command that Smith's commentary would be running and extended the opportunity for equal time on the air. The latest state reapportionment plan released Tuesday makes no changes to Southeast Alaska election districts, but it changes boundaries elsewhere in the state, which will likely be altered because of federal requirements protecting minority voting strength. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Alaska Redistricting Board released the plan, then considered a consultant's report saying it would significantly reduce Alaska Native influence in one House and one Senate district. The plan responds to a recent state Supreme Court ruling saying the board put too much emphasis on protecting Native voting rights. The court said the board should have paid more attention to state constitutional requirements, which call for compact districts made up of similar communities. The new plan changes election district boundaries for part of the Aleutians in the interior, as well as areas around Nome and Bethel. Redistricting Board Executive Director Taylor Bickford says the controversy does not include Panhandle communities.
There was an influence district that was built in Southeast, but the board never claimed and the court never found that the board's drawing of an influence district in Southeast led to violations of the Alaska Constitution.
Petersburg officials hope for new boundaries closer to its current district, which includes Wrangell and Sitka. Those districts were reworked because of population shifts from Southeast to South Central Alaska. The new plan combines Petersburg, downtown Juneau, Douglas Island, and Skagway. That angers Petersburg Mayor Al Dwyer.
We don't think that Juneau is similar in any way to Petersburg or a fishing community. I mean, it has a processor there, but it's not considered a fishing community. It's a tourist community and a government.
I completely understand why people will be unhappy. I think there's a lot of unhappy people across the state.
Juneau Democratic Representative Beth Kurtula serves in the House district slated to include Petersburg.
And all I can say is wherever the district I'm in is, I would be honored to represent it and will work my hardest to do a good job.
Petersburg sued to change last year's reapportionment plan. Mayor Dwyer says the Supreme Court ruling provides another opportunity to challenge the redistricting board.
We kind of knew that they would propose that again, but we're against it and we're going to oppose it.
And what form's that opposition going to be? Are you folks going to go back to court?
Yeah, depending on the cost. We have a limited amount of funds to expend.
Redistricting shrinks the region's legislative delegation from 8 to 6. That means 4 lawmakers, 2 in the House and 2 in the Senate, will likely run against each other. That puts one Southeast Native lawmaker, Angoon Democrat Albert Kukesh, at risk. Curtula worries the court-ordered change in the redistricting board's focus from voting rights to geography could further isolate Alaska Natives.
Whenever you start to redraw the lines, you've got to have your eye on the fact that constitutionally in the federal law, we can't dilute Native power.
The board's voting rights consultant identified two of the districts redrawn after the court ruling as areas of concern. One is a House district made up of interior villages. The other is a Senate district running from Yakutat to Kodiak and from Lime Village to Dillingham and out the Aleutians. The redistricting board is scheduled to meet through Saturday. Executive Director Bickford says it should finish its work by then.
We're really just playing it by ear at this point. We're trying to do our due diligence, build the best plan we can, and do it in a timely fashion.
In Southeast, other pairings put Sitka in a district with small cities and villages from Haines to Port Alexander. Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Northern Prince of Wales Island are in another district, and the capital cities Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay areas remain on their own. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
You can find links to the new redistricting maps posted with this story on our website, kcaw.org. A measure helping villages set up safe water and sewer systems is getting some attention in the legislature. The bill would create a task force that would collect information and look into simple systems that could work in rural communities. It would also come up with a list of the most needed projects. The measure passed out of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee last Friday. It's a companion bill to one in the Senate sponsored by Angoon Democrat Senator Albert Kukesh.
We've got numbers that show that there are 6,000 homes that are without water and sewer in rural Alaska yet, and nobody seems to be paying a lot of attention to them, so we're kind of concentrated on and hoping we can put that together and people will pay attention to that.
Links to both bills are posted with this story on our website, kcaw.org. Rain showers today, highs around 46. This is KCAW in Sitka.